morning we're going to talk about, we're just having a 1 week break from our Acts series. We'll get back into it next week. We're going to talk about the freedom of giving. And everybody smiled and said,
amen.
It's one of those where I tell you, don't feel condemned. Because a lot of us, many aspects of our life when it comes to money, we just can't seem to get it right. And I believe this morning through the word coming and through prayer, we're going to be trusting God for deliverance. It's time that we take back this ground in particular. Listen to this quote by C.S. Lewis. Give me all of you. I don't want so much of your time, so much of your talents and money, so much of your work. I want you, all of you. I've not come to torment or frustrate the natural man or woman, but to kill it. No half measures will do. I don't want to only prune a branch here and a branch there. Rather, I want the whole tree to be cut back. Hand it over to me, the whole outfit, all of your desires, all of your wants and wishes and dreams. Turn them all over to me. Give yourself to me, and I will make you a new self in my image. That's going to be the theme of this morning. In my image. We are made, if you're born again, a Christ follower, we are made in the image of Jesus Christ. And if you're not a Christ follower, this morning's an opportunity for you to give your heart to Jesus and step into becoming an image bearer of this great and mighty King of ours. Then he says, turn them all over to me, give yourself to me, and I'll make a new self. Give me yourself, and in exchange, I will give you myself. My will shall become your will. My heart shall become your heart. Kind of a hard-hitting quote, but I want his heart. I want his will. And if anything, this is an area where the world gets it wrong. And there is the worship of money everywhere. And that's the kind of world we live in. Remember Jesus said, you're part of the world, but you're not, you're in the world, but you're not part of the world. And this is something where we need to get victory. So the motive for this preach is freedom for every single one of us. You see, financial freedom is handing our finances over to him. Because he's better than any CA. He's better than any tax consultant. He's the one that'll help us live out this area of our lives in freedom. The only way we're going to display the divine nature of God as image bearers is to learn the value of giving. And that's everything. Our hearts are open. Our love, we want to give. It's not just about holding in. It's our time we want to give it. We want to give everything we have been blessed with. We want to be those who are resources of others. All of heaven agreed that this world and humanity was going down. And the only way to redeem it was to give. He never held back anything. He gave fully in every way so that we can live in the freedom that we have. And that's why as image bearers, we want to be those who give. You see, we live by the fourfold revelation of Jesus, every one of us. Jesus the Savior. You're allowed to say, yippee, hallelujah, hooray, good. This isn't a memorial service where we are saying goodbye to our money. This is Jesus Christ, our Savior. We live by that. And that is what I, only because of his salvation am I able to have any kind of hope in this life. Second thing, Jesus the Sanctifier. You know what? That gospel not only saves us, but is going to make us into the likeness and image of Jesus. Isn't that awesome? I love that. And so the Marcus you see here, although many of you will say close to perfect, I'm just going to get better, Adele. Better and better and better. Because my prayer is I want to heal to him. The third thing is Jesus the healer. And you know, part of that, as he sanctifies and makes us more like him in this area as well, he also wants to deliver. There's not once the gospel is preached in the Bible where Jesus doesn't heal people. And today, God is going to heal. God is going to deliver. And it's not just financially. I feel in any way, if the enemy has got you, we want to stand alongside you and we want to pray for your deliverance. The fourth thing is Jesus, the soon coming King. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Man, I cannot wait, because he is coming. And so this vital area of finance and the freedom that he wants is an important battle for every single one of us to win. And you know what it's like, as you get victory, you turn your back and he's at you again. And so we have to continue to live in the victory that is ours in Christ Jesus by living according to the Word of God and allowing the sanctification process, the making me more like Jesus. You see, saved not by works, but definitely now that I'm saved, there are good works. There are ways that we must live that'll bring about freedom and kingdom in every area of our lives. Hand it all over to him. That quote said, all, give him your family, give him your children, give him the way you handle everything, including our finances. See, another way of looking at this is Jesus is both Lord and Savior. We're always happy to receive the law, the Savior part, but Lord is saying you need a rule, Lord, in every area. We can't have been saved by him without letting him rule and reign. It says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings. And we want the knees of finance and our approach to finance to bow. So you think, yes, these guys must be short of money. He's carrying on you like going wild. And often that is. There's always approaches to this. You know, is it because the bank's empty, or, you know, what is it? Do they want to give themselves bonuses, or, you know, there's a big, you know, like we want to convert something over there and they need money. No, first point is we want to emulate the nature of Jesus Christ and become those who walk in the freedom of giving. There's a liberty. It's not a bereavement when you hand out something. It's an absolute joy. One of the kind of encouragements, I think it's in Philippians, says God loves a cheerful giver. And the word over there, I believe, some of the preachers milk it a bit, but it's supposed to be a hilarious giver. That's quite a change, isn't it? So, the motivation from us as elders in regard to finances is we live by faith and not by tithes and offerings. We have no clue what any of you give. Unless you come and put your name on the envelope, then we might have an understanding of where it came from. But we don't. We don't do that. We live by faith. Every single person is bought by the blood of Jesus Christ and are Christ followers. And our commitment is to lead you in the ways of God. We see you like that, image bearers, and not tithing units. When we get together at conferences, we don't say, how many tithing units have you got? As opposed to how many have we got? Or what percentage of your tithing units are tithing? You know what I mean? No. This is a freedom. And Christ was not afraid to tackle the difficult subjects. And the passage that we're going to read now is absolutely, it's dramatical. It's kind of, you know, the spirit of religion is there. And the spirit of religion, as we know, is about death. It's about rules and regulations. It's kind of somehow the spirit of religion is wanting to destroy. But Jesus has come to give life. So let's read that passage. Turn with me to Mark chapter 12, please. We're going to read from verse 13 onwards. And I think quietly in your kind of mind, your heart, and all of that, as we read, just keep saying, I hand this over to you, Lord. And some, I know some of us, some of you, we've had many of these challenges as a couple, and we've had to come back to the biblical principle. But some of you are in a place where you need rescue. You need rescue. And I know some of those frustrating times of saying, yes, we are this guy, we are that person. And then the banks had this wonderful thing. You could take out a personal loan and just pay off all your debt. But they didn't tell you that the interest rate for that personal loan was going to kill you. I got another way. We hand this over to God and we say, give us your wisdom, Lord. He is a rescuer. God is full of grace. It's not like all those who are in debt, we'll just keep them that side and no grace for them. And all those that aren't in debt, we'll kind of focus on them. God's heart is drawn to us in every single way, and he wants to help. And we as an eldership, excuse me, want to come alongside you. So in verse 13 of Mark chapter 12, and they sent to him some of the Pharisees and some of the Herodians to trap him in his talk. Isn't that amazing, eh? Kind of going to look for a way to prove that this man who says he is who he is, we're going to trap him. We're going to catch him out. And they came and said to him, Teacher, notice the kind of wolf in sheep's clothing. Teacher, we know that you are true and do not care about anyone's opinion. For you are not swayed by appearances, but truly teach the way of God. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay them or should we not? Yes, I tell you, most of us would think, now there's a tricky one. Jesus sees right through it. Verse 15, but knowing their hypocrisy. See, that's the heart of religion, is full of hypocrisy. It's making a loud statement publicly, but living something else out. It's there's between your public persona and your private persona, there's a big gap. Now, we want to be through and through believers. And in every area, we want to celebrate the gifts and the goodness of God. And then he said to them, why put me to the test? And you know, this is very similar to Malachi, where it says, you know, test me. In other words, there is a test that's good. God blesses generosity. And it's not, you know, you give your tithe and you give a big offering and you walk outside and there's a Maserati waiting for you. I'm not saying that. That's another gospel. That's not the gospel that we preach or teach or celebrate. That prosperity thing of, you know, where I'm the center of the gospel and everything I give is going to be 100-fold received. No, we cannot fathom the grace that is ours in Christ Jesus. And actually, just out of thankfulness for being saved, have it all, Lord. Took a while. There's a gap between what's said here and when it lands in your heart. Why put me to the test? At that point, if I'm one of those Pharisees or Herodians, I'm out of there. They're going to get beaten up badly. Bring me a denarius. That's a day's, is it a day or month? Day's wage. There we go. And let me look at it. And they brought one, and he said to them, whose likeness and inscription is this? They said to him, Caesar's. They thought, man, we've got him now. Jesus said to them, give to Caesar, or render to Caesar, that are things that are his, that are Caesar's, and God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. They marveled. Man, there's a wisdom right over there that kind of shut their mouths. There's a wisdom in God when it comes to the freedom of giving that'll shut the mouths of every religious opinion. You see, and somehow we feel when I give, God's more attracted to me. God loves us all. And we need to get out of that condemnation that, you know, you're sitting over there now. It was wonderful to see all these people give. But man, I'm going to have to eat today. And you think, well, God loves me less. Now, that's the first thing. Get out from under that condemnation. What God is not happy with is patterns of sin. When we know the truth and we're not obedient, we need to deal with that. That's the sanctification process. That's where he is going to help us by the power of his Spirit. And you know, Paul talks to the people that he kind of impacts spiritually, and he says, I'm going to admonish you. God's word admonishes us. And we need to be open to a snot club in love. That's what admonishment is, apparently, according to the original Greek. So the way we are going to look at this freedom of giving is two headings, our civic and our kingdom responsibilities with giving. The second one is we are image bearers. And that's my motivation for giving. That's what I really trust that you would understand today. The motivation, you know, is not there's great needs in the church. We want to plant more churches. There's apostolic, you know, ventures that we need to underscore. There's maintenance on the board. We could go through all of that and try and motivate from that point of view. But the motivation is because I'm an image bearer, I want to be exactly like Jesus, where it's more blessed to give than to receive. More blessed in every single way. All of this is available to you, Lord. Everything. Everything I have. And then we'll ask a few questions. So first, our civic and kingdom responsibilities when it comes to giving. Render to Caesar, or give the things that are Caesar's, give them to him, and to God the things that are God's. And you know, too often we talk about just the part of Caesar. Give to Caesar the things that are his. Give him your tax. And I know you're going to say, yeah, but they don't use it properly. No, you don't give your tax, they're after you. There's a couple of repercussions there that you don't want to get involved with. And many of us will use a tax lawyer or a tax consultant. And you know what it is with tax? You want to not evade, you want to avoid. So they help us with that very fine line between avoiding and evading. And sometimes you're not too concerned as long as you don't pay it all. Right? And then there's that wonderful thing called deductions. So how much am I allowed to deduct? And in the end, you want to pay legally, because we're all good believers, right? Stop giggling at me, Carl. See you in my office on Monday. We all want to do exactly the right thing. So we want to pay what we need to pay, but we don't want to go and be stupid and overpay. You know, who would want to do that? And so that thing is worked out in your head logically, with help and guides and tables and the rest of it, okay? We've sorted that out. We all have that civic responsibility to the government. Happy with that? I know some of you are saying, not totally happy, but I agree. Number two, give to God what is God's. So out of my income, my salary, my inheritance I get, out of whatever it is God blesses, there is a responsibility to God. But we can't treat it the same way as our civic responsibility. Let's see if we can get away with paying the least. So what's the tithe thing? 10%. Okay, well, that's it. Getting away. But actually, we're in the New Testament. It's grace. So I'm cutting that to half, 5%. Because grace is less than the law. Oh, yes, you got an incredible interpretation of Scripture there. And so sometimes we can have the same heart attitude towards what is God's. But God says it's better to give than to receive. And the motivation, whose image is on the coin? Caesar's? No. Whose image is in my heart? You see, that's the motivation for that. And, you know, so yes, the kind of areas, you know, in the local church, tithing and giving are reflections, are reflective for me of the very generous nature of God. So when I tithe and give, I reflect his nature. So there's the attitude towards it. A tithe in the Old Testament is a tenth. It literally means 10% of whatever I get, my salary, you know, whatever God blesses me with, I should be doing that as a discipline. And you say, hang on, tithe is an Old Testament thing. No, you can go and read the scriptures. Tithing, the history of tithing, is tithing was before the law. Tithing was instituted by the law with heavy penalties. Pay up to 7 times if you never tithed as a kind of interest. But then Jesus endorses tithing afterwards in this parable or in this little encounter. And other times he talks about the Pharisees and their legal ways. He says, don't forget about tithing, but don't be so pathetic, you know, like the Pharisees. And so we need to understand it's a biblical kingdom principle. Let's hear an amen. Amen. And have a sip of water and stop getting so excited. Right. And then giving. So what happens with the tithe in the local church? It goes towards making a local church work. It's salaries. It's kind of the things that resource us so that we can operate that way. And then giving, that's offerings, contributions. They're used for things in the local church, buildings, equipment, all of this we need. Almsgiving for the poor, apostolic giving, general generosity. That should always define me. I'm a person who's generous. I know obedience and I know generosity. And the general rule is to pursue anonymity with tithing and giving. Jesus was very clear on that. People blow trumpets and they kind of announce. And, you know, I've had it where a guy joined us from another flow. And that week, he dropped in a 100,000 rand check into the offering. And say, organized to have coffee with me. I'll tell you how I knew. Because when I had coffee with him, he said, "Did you get my check?" And I said, "No, I have no clue what happened." He said, "No, but when he's done that in churches before, you know, the lead guy gets together with you and then they discuss, is this going to be a regular thing? You can't just tease us with 100,000 now. Is this 100,000 coming every week? Or is it every month? Or is, you know, how can we build our budget? Because, you know, we need to know what you're earning and, when, you know, and all of that. We don't do that. So you can drop in $1 million and we will believe that it's from God, which we believe it is. And it's not motivated around any person. Same with giving. Just a general thing for you. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. This is a thing we teach all the time. When somebody's in need and you see it and you want to respond, give it to the church and mark it, Keir Taylor. Then guess what? Because you trust us and we know we are accountable to God, we're not going to spend that on pastor's holidays. We are going to... We don't, by the way, we don't get holiday money anyway. We are going to pass it over to Kia. When Kia receives it, what is Kia going to say? Thank you, Jesus, right? So then, when Kia needs money again, who does he go to? No, not the ATM. He goes straight back to the Lord and he says, "I'm in need." But if I haul him out and I say, "Yeah, you go, Kia, you know, you're such a good brother." Yes, it does feel good to give. Come on. It really does. So when Kia's in need again, he's going to stand around me and go, "Well, you know, hasn't been the best month." And, you know, and the hints. Not that Kia had ever done that, because Kia's perfect. But here's the issue. We want to get rid of that, glorifying a person out of this. The privilege of giving is to do it anonymously. Yes, I get mixed up with that. Too many N's. Anonymously. So I put it in the church. For whoever. So we got a church plant coming up. You know that. In Kempton Park. They need money to make that thing operate. Some money has coming in. I want to encourage you to give towards it. So how do you do it? You put it in, EFT, check, and mark it for Kempton Park. And it'll go towards them. About 15,000 to 20,000 so far. We probably need about 35,000-40,000 to set them up properly. Because we try and buy them all the sound equipment and chairs and say, "Go for it." So there's an opportunity for you. And anything else, I want to give into a Lesotho trip. I want to give into that. I want to give into whatever it is to fix whatever. Write it down. And even if it's a person here, as God leads you, you think, okay, he needs it. Put it into the church and we make sure they get it. That's such a good, important rule because it does help. Here's a quote by Richard Foster. "Perhaps the tithe can be a beginning way to acknowledge God as the owner of all things, but it is only the beginning and not the ending." I like that because obedience, there's nothing like obedience that tests the heart. Nothing like that. You know, when you're confronted with it, "Will you make me tithe?" You know, smiling on the outside, but on the inside you're saying, "This baby ain't going to do that." God's testing our hearts, like these Pharisees and these Herodians tested Jesus. I want to pass the test of obedience. You know, in Matthew 28, it says, "Go into all nations, make disciples, and baptize them, and teach them to obey the word of God." Obedience is the way we kind of work with God in the sanctifying process. That's how we become more like Jesus. Okay, image bearers. Image bearers. I'll be very quick with this. Image bearers, there's the motivation. And I think we need to set ourselves free. It's because I'm made in the likeness and image of God, I want to display his nature. I want to be generous. I want to give. I want to bless. I'm past the test of obedience, but now I want to go over the top with that. and I want a resource. And you know, it's not just because you have or you don't have, is what are you saying, God? I've spoken to you now about a church plot. Are any of you going to say, God, what is my part in this church plot? I'm going to visit, I'm going to pray, and actually I'm going to give $500. Send it into the church. I'm sowing into church planting. That's the heart. That's the way it should work. And at times, God can overwhelm us with his goodness. You see, often we think, wow, this is just about, I hope he's aiming at all the guys and looking at the guys who are rich or poor. No, it's every single one of us need to be liberated by these principles. Every one of us are image bearers, and it's important that we have that kind of heart. You know, here's the rule for us as a local church. We don't do something kind of driven by the budget. We don't. What we do is we ask God what we should do, and then we know he's going to supply our needs. And there was a guy at that time that we put up this building, and he had put together a nice little nest egg for later in life. Who knows about nest eggs? Money under the mattress. Ask our president. Sorry, I shouldn't have gone there. Please forgive me. But here we go. So you got your nest egg. And he felt like he wasn't going to touch that. And then God put his finger on him and he said, I want you to sow into this building. And he did that. You know what? Later on, there was a payment from the company he was with, because he had become church paid as an elder, and they had underpaid him with his pension, more than he had put in. You see, God's in control. So image bearers, is it God in control or you in control? This is one of those where we need to heal to him in every single way. We want to do it because we love you, Lord. So here's the questions. You ready for them? Very important questions. Have I settled the ownership issue? Give to God what is his. He owns it all. I must settle the ownership issue. Or does finance own me? That's where the love of money comes in. And you can directly kind of trace your monthly cycle according to the 25th of the month. That week before, very unhappy and moody. And the week after the 25th, very happy for 2 days. And then it's survival, 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 survival. And that last week, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I think I'm going to die. You know? No. I want to settle the ownership issue. Actually, I'm in your hands. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor beg for bread. Because God is good in every single way. Balcony, you agree? Great. I've got a balcony amen. I just heard it now. It takes a bit of time for the sound to travel from there to here. Second question, am I acting as an image bearer of God with my finances and with my assets? And that is that it's more blessed to give than to receive. I want that to be part of my nature with everything. The next question is he Lord of my finances and assets and of my decision surrounding them? Very important that we do that. And there are tons of testimonies of how God has delivered, how God has provided, how God has just been awesome in every way. We heard a great testimony of a guy who's trusting God for $5 million for their building somewhere in KZN. And God had given them a challenge as a church to put together parcels and to help the poor. And at the same time they were doing this building fund thing. And money was coming in for that. And then kind of one Sunday, his elder said to him, no, just pump the building fund thing. And he said, no, we're going to go. We haven't got enough money for all the parcels. I'm pumping that. And he did that for 2 weeks. On the one morning when they kind of pestered him, while he was preaching, 2 deposits of $1 million came through for the building fund without him asking a single person. Who's in control of finances? Not APSA. You're right. It's the Lord. So how much of me does he have? And then I want to stress it again in Acts 20 verse 35. The words of the Lord Jesus, Paul said, how he himself said it's more blessed to give than to receive. So would we bow our heads, please? Because I really do want to challenge us with this. I want to trust God for our freedom, especially in this area. Because it is important. Obedience, generosity, and integrity in the way that we handle our finances. But the first thing, the first point of giving, is to give our hearts to Jesus. That's the most important thing. And so I want to encourage you, if you have never made a commitment to Jesus to serve him as Lord and Savior and taken advantage of his gift of life, freedom from sin, forgiveness, and then the gift of life, would you raise your hand and I'm going to kind of lead you in a prayer, because that's what it's all about. From then onwards, we can work out our salvation. But it starts with saying, today, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my life as Lord and Savior. I want to walk with you from now on. So raise your hands if you'd like me to pray with you. Okay, I can't see anybody. No, there is somebody. Awesome. Awesome. That's wonderful. Really good. Okay, so I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And if you wouldn't mind praying this. Father, thank you for the gift of salvation, freely given. I ask now in the name of Jesus that you forgive me my sin. And I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. From this moment onwards, I'm born again. Thank you for that, Lord. Amen.